For World Communion Sunday today, I am departing from the Gospel of Luke, where we've been for several months, and turning to 2 Timothy, because I think this passage has something to tell us about the connectedness of this business of faith. 2 Timothy is one of what's called the pastoral epistles, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, written to give direction to pastors trying to lead and govern the early church, especially now that its earliest leaders are gone. It's likely that Paul is writing from prison as his own life is coming to an end. These are his last words for Timothy about how the faith is going to extend from generation to generation. Now, when I say Paul, you should know that most scholars don't think the Apostle Paul actually wrote these letters himself. It's probably someone writing in Paul's name, assuming his situation to continue his legacy. But that sounds like plagiarism to us. But it wasn't in that day. In fact, this kind of thing was very common. These are words that carry the authority or the approval of Paul as an extension of his ministry. When this letter is written, Timothy is most likely in Ephesus. He and others in that fledgling Christian community are being bombarded by hostile forces because of their faith. But Paul is counting on Timothy to continue his work. He worries that Timothy has backed off of his leadership role and no longer has the confidence he once had. So Paul writes to fan the flames and embolden Timothy's commitment. As I read, listen as Paul reminds Timothy about the day of his ordination when Paul laid hands on him. Notice the mention of Timothy's tears upon receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. Here, Paul reminds Timothy of the sincere faith that lived in Timothy's mother, Eunice, and his grandmother, Lois. And as you listen, I hope you will remember the people who have shared their own faith. 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed, then, of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to God's own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher, and for this reason I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard until that day what I have entrusted to him. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Have you ever Googled yourself just to see what comes up? While I was chasing rabbit trails for this sermon, I did that very thing. You need to know that I was several pages in before anything resembling my life appeared, which is humbling to say the least. But here's what I learned. Emily Anderson is a distant swimmer for Hiram College in West Virginia. Emily Anderson is an art historian and published author. Emily Anderson is a cartographer with the United States Geological Survey. Emily Anderson is a 5'2" voice actor whose last role was exactly one line in Horton Hears a Who 10 years ago. And Emily Anderson is a 6'4" senior forward for the UPenn women's basketball team. Emily Anderson is a therapist in Kansas, an ASL interpreter in Austin, and a 4-H coordinator in Oregon. Emily Anderson teaches classics at Johns Hopkins, plays beach volleyball in Tucson, and practices law in Las Vegas. All of those people share my name, but they are not Emily, the daughter of Carolyn, the granddaughter of Olive and Agnes. They are not Emily who lives in Maryville, or Emily who loves this congregation in New Providence, or even Emily who is the human being belonging to Gracie and Mac. And that's what I love about this passage in 2 Timothy. It is so personal. Paul commends Timothy for his faith, but he also gives thanks for all those who passed it on to him. This is not just any old Timothy. This is Timothy, Paul's co-worker, whose mother Eunice and grandmother Lois have been central to his faith. Timothy would not be who he is without them. Now that's a very different picture than we moderns and postmoderns are used to. We're inclined to believe that faith is a matter of individual attainment. I have decided to follow Jesus. I gave my life to Christ. I accepted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. The problem with that language, you see, is that faith is never something we create on our own. Faith is communal and experiential and relational. It belongs to us all and it connects us all. In Paul's genealogy, Timothy is only the most recent branch and blossom. No human being is born an orphan. We're all born into a family, biologically or spiritually, or maybe both. The Bantus of South Africa say, Umuntu, Ngamuntu, Ngabantu. A person is a person because of other persons. We are born into relationship, we grow and live in relationship, and we die in relationship. Let me point you to one word in this passage. It's tucked into verse 12, and it doesn't translate very well into English. I know whom I have believed, and I am sure that he is able to guard until that day what I have entrusted to him. And that phrase, what I have entrusted, is the Greek word paratheke. The best translation is that it's a deposit. It's a legal term referring to something placed in trust into another's keeping. The word paratheke is a hapax legomena. That means it's a word that shows up only one time in the Bible. Hapax legomena. And now that you have that essential bit of information, that and $1.10 will still get you a cup of coffee at McDonald's. But I think it matters. Paul chooses this particular word because he thinks this thing is important. It's unlike anything else. This deposit belonged to Timothy's grandmother and his mother, and now to him, and it needs to be passed on again and again and again, almost as if it's an heirloom bestowed from generation to generation and person to person. And at its core, that's what we celebrate on World Communion Sunday. On this day, the communion table is 25,000 miles long. The distance around the entire globe. World Communion Sunday began earlier today on the other side of the international dateline. In the churches of the Tonga and Fiji Islands, New Zealand and Australia, and then it moved westward. Japan, China, Russia, Africa, Europe, South America, now to us. And later, as we settle into our afternoon, churches on the West Coast will be coming to the table, finishing up with American Samoa and the Cook Islands and French Polynesia. And imagine, if you will, that paratheke, that heirloom, literally being passed from person to person, from one table to the next, from one country to the next, all the way around the globe. World Communion Sunday says, as well as anything I know, that we cannot do this alone, and we do not have to do this alone. We are all in this together. Yesterday morning, I heard a story on NPR that warmed my heart. It caught my attention because it happened in Leelanau County, Michigan, and I know that's a place where Liz and Lee Huffaker spend several weeks each summer, as they have for many, many years. The story is about two different high schools. Glen Lake High School has a football team, but not enough interest to sustain a band to cheer them on. Forest Area High School has a band, but last week they canceled their football season because of low participation and safety issues. That left the county with a teamless band and a bandless team. And on a whim, the athletic director at Glen Lake reached out to the Forest Area band director to see if they'd be interested in playing for Glen Lake's game last week. The band traveled an hour and a half to play in the rain, but everyone said they absolutely nailed it. Glen Lake won the game 31-7, and the football players credit the band with all 31 points. It's a simple story, but it gives me hope as we come to this table, especially because we come to this table with Christians all around the globe. None of us is teamless or bandless. We have one another, and we need one another. It's a tiny morsel of bread and barely enough juice to wet your whistle. But as we pass it around, it's a reminder of that deposit of faith, that heirloom. It's a gift we offer from one to another, all the way around the globe. So take, eat, share, pass it on, Jesus says. This is my body.